Well, I reckon we can all go home now. The scripture says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are here because the Lord has given us joy and gladness. If you are able, would you stand as we sing our call to worship? He has made me glad. God is good, and all the time. We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And if you are a visitor with us today, we encourage you to fill out a visitor card. You can find those on the back of the pew in front of you. Today we have several wonderful opportunities, and I just want to call your attention to this guy. If you have no idea what this is, or why this is here today, it's because yesterday you missed it. You missed something fun, you missed something good, you missed the yard sale. And tonight we have another opportunity with Jeff Smith coming. You don't want to miss it. Now I know we stand up here a lot of Sundays and say, this is going to be great, or that's going to be wonderful, or you should really come to this. But folks, I'm telling you, don't miss this one. Jeff Smith is an internationally acclaimed Christian actor, dramatist, comedian, part magician, dancer, singer, entertainer extraordinaire, and he will come to bring a really powerful message through movement, through drama, through song. He's going to be sharing his talents and his creativity in a workshop at 2:30 here in the sanctuary. And then we'll have our meal at 5 o'clock, and then about 5:45, we'll gather back in here for his performance. If you haven't already put that on your calendar, put it on there to be there tonight at 5:45. I also wanted to share a message. It was just relayed to me on behalf of Ann Uzzell. She says, thank you. You can just hear her saying it, can't you? She wants to thank you who have sent cards, who have called her, who have come by to visit her. She really deeply appreciates your love. And just knowing that her church family is still her church family, even though she is far away from us today. As we continue to worship, I want to encourage you, as you hear our opening scripture in just a moment, Jeremiah 29, to consider this. The Lord of the universe, the God of all creation, before the beginning of time, before there was time or space or matter, before it all, he thought of you and prepared a life for you, a purpose for you. What is your purpose in Christ Jesus? Let us continue to worship.
Our opening scripture reading comes from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, just as your word spoke about the plans that you have for us, and as we seek you, we will find you. It is a blessing and an honor to come in your house today, seeking you through our act of worship and finding you, because we know as we gather here at First Baptist Church of Elon that your Holy Spirit has descended upon us, that we can feel your movement, we can feel your presence with us this day. We ask that as we progress through worship, through song, through scripture, through the sermon, through recognition, whatever it be, Father, may it be pleasing to you. We are blessed by your presence, not just this day, but every day. And Father, we lift up this time to you as a sacrificial offering. Father God, as we come to you this day, we are reminded of the creation, you forming us with your own hands. We are reminded of you sending your Son Jesus to live a life of love and service upon this earth and the many lessons that he taught us. And we're reminded of the Spirit being with us, promised to us, being breathed into us. And Father, we are thankful. Father, we lift this prayer to you and your Son's Jesus' name we pray, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for our song of praise. We're going to change it a little bit, so we want the PowerPoint to go to How Great Thou Art. Let's stand and sing hymn number 10, verses 1 and 4 of How Great Thou Art.
I see.
be seated. Our ministry highlight this morning is Vacation Bible School, and it is coming. We will start on Sunday, June 12th, and finish on Thursday, July 16th. Did I say June? July 12th, and finish Thursday. That'd be a long Vacation Bible School. July 12th and July 16th. So this year we are doing a Holy Land adventure called Hometown Nazareth, where Jesus was a kid. We will help kids explore Jesus' hometown through the eyes of his mother, Mary. It is our prayer that our VBS will allow God's word to come to life like never before, touching lives and changing hearts and drawing kids closer to Christ. All of the material, the scriptures, the games, the music are excellent. So it will be a great week and a lot of fun for the volunteers and for the kids. So I come to you this morning asking you to please prayerfully consider joining us for this week. We cannot do Vacation Bible School without the help of church volunteers. And there are so many different ways that you can join us. In your bulletin, there is a yellow insert with a list of all the possible areas that you can join in on the fun. We still need help in the marketplace, games. We need people to take pictures, people to be huddle leaders, preschool help, decorations, registration, and much more. But one of our biggest needs today is someone or even several groups to prepare our snack supper for the week. This helps our volunteers to get to VBS on time after work, and it also helps the children have time to eat. So if you can help with snack supper during VBS or any time during the week, please let me know or one of the children's team members know. And today, you can sign up by placing this yellow VBS sign-up sheet in the offering plate or by calling or emailing me. Hometown Nazareth needs you. And if you have questions, please let me or a member of the children's team know.
Good morning. I have the privilege this morning of introducing, and in some cases reintroducing, five Elon students who have been with us for 4 years and are about to venture out into the world. As I call your name, please come up. We have a gift Bible for you. I'm going to make a few comments about you, whether you want me to or not. And I'll ask you to please tell us about your degree and your plans for the future, and please remain standing up here with me. First of all is Lane Anderson. Lane, Lane has served as treasurer of Baptist Associated Ministries, our student group. Lane is a very, very dependable person. Lane is one of those people, when you call on her to do something, she gets the job done. And she was a very good steward of our funds in BAM. On the occasion last spring, during our spring retreat at Bowling Rock, Lane found that we had the funds so that all of us could go out to eat on a Saturday night. And I really appreciate that, Lane, because the peanut butter and jelly was running out, and that was a problem. Come on and tell us about your plans and your degree.
Okay. Well, I am getting a human services degree. It's Bachelor of Arts, and my plans are temporary for right now. I got accepted into a program called City Year, which is where I'll be teaching in schools that have low graduation rates. So I'll be doing that in New Orleans.
Next up is someone many of you have seen. She's the only person I know that's been on a billboard. literally on a billboard. This is Samantha Coffer. Samantha, come on up. She has served as a BAM officer. Sam is not just a member of the women's varsity basketball team at Elon, she is the most valuable player. She is an honor student, and let me say this, Sam, you have served as a witness on the basketball court, just in the way you conduct yourself and carry yourself. And on a personal note, I want to say this. Thank you for helping restore my love. I've said this before, you've heard it. Helping restore my love of college basketball. It's been fun watching you play. Come on up.
Hey, everyone. I'm Samantha. Like you said, I'm a biochemistry major, pre-med, and I'm moving to Chapel Hill in August. I'm currently waitlisted for med school there, so that's plan A. Hopefully that works out. But if not, I'm going to work for a year and try again next year. But I just want to say thank you to all of you guys so much for being so supporting and loving of me over these past 4 years, and I really consider this my home church as far as where I am at Elon, so just thank you everything for everything. That's it.
I want to now introduce Kyle Hoganson. Kyle has held the office of BAM president. He is president of the basketball club at Elon, the men's basketball club. He's been a faithful member of BAM, and I'll let him tell us about his plans.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kyle. I'm a triple major with a BA in economics and a BSBA in finance and entrepreneurship. It's just a fancy thing that I was able to turn in assignments on time, basically, is what that means. My current plans, I'm going back out to California, which is where I'm kind of from. If you know who I am, I'm kind of from North Carolina and California, to just rest a little bit. And then I've got a couple job offers that I'm considering. And then hopefully in 2 years, I'll be back out here to go to Chapel Hill for business school. And I'd just like to also reiterate what Samantha said, in that I'm really appreciative for all the support that you've given us through BAM or through tons of sugar in my mailbox, because I mean, y'all know that sometimes you just need a real good sugar high to be studying until 1 a.m. for finals. But I really appreciate it, and you guys have also been my home church while I've been here at Elon, and yeah, just really thankful for everything y'all have done. Thank you.
I don't know how to introduce this next person. You've heard her for years. Kristen Illner. Kristen had us fooled. Now, she'll tell you her major in just a second, but for a long time, we thought Kristen was a music major. Let me assure you, when she plays the organ for the music majors in Whitley Auditorium, she amazes them. I've heard that from one of your professors. I know it's true.
Hi, everyone. I'm actually graduating with a degree in psychology, and my plan is to go to Chattanooga next year for graduate school and get a degree in Christian counseling. But I'll also be here next Sunday and a few Sundays in the summer, so please do not say goodbye to me or I might start crying. Thank you.
The next student I want to introduce, there's an interesting story of how he got to our church. Justin Remigi. Justin, along with seeing Elon as an opportunity for some academic rigor, also has an interest in hunting and wanted to find a church home. Someone invited him to our church. About that same time, someone else said, well, you need to get in touch with a gentleman who can help you out with the hunting. Justin shows up at our church, picks up a church directory, finds Bill Mann's name, who was the gentleman who was referred, connects with him, and Bill and Erlene, thank you for making that connection with Justin. We've enjoyed having him here. And Justin, I'll let you tell us about yourself.
All right. Like you said, my name's Justin. I've been going here on and off for the last 4 years, and I'm graduating with a degree in biology and also a degree in environmental and ecological science. My plans for the next 4 months are I'm going to be a fly fishing guide out in Alaska. And then after that, I'm not exactly sure, maybe grad school, but I haven't really set anything in stone. But Like everyone said up here, I thank you so much for all your support and everything throughout my 4 years. My experience wouldn't be the same without you guys. Thank you.
Let me say that we have enjoyed your presence at Elon greatly, very much, both the university and our church. Please know that this church will always be your church home away from home. If you decide to move to Elon, though, you know where you can attend, please. We would very much like that. Inscribed in your Bibles are two scriptures. One we've already read this morning, Jeremiah 29:11. The other one is Ephesians 4:1, and you've heard this one from me before, I know. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Thank you so much for being a part of our church.
And today we're also going to recognize one more very special graduate to our church family. David, would you come up here, please?
I wanted to be in the picture with the head. Come on now.
As many of y'all are aware, David graduated on May 8th from Campbell University with his doctorate, and we're all extremely proud and of your accomplishment along with your family. And as you know, we just want to congratulate you and your family because it was a group effort from all of y'all. And your determination and commitment and dedication to not only your goal of reaching that doctorate, but to your family and your church family and all the responsibilities that went along with that. We're just very proud of you. So we just want to present you with a small token of our appreciation, another Bible that has his new title on it. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, what am I going to do now? That's the question everybody's asking. Now, that's not what I'm here to say. I'm here to say thank you, because the church really embraced me over the last 3 years in my studies at Campbell. That goes from staff, that goes from family, friends who have been friends of ours for years and years, and new friends. Every word that you spoke to me over the last 3 years, the prayers, how are things going, how are the assignments going, serve as both motivation, and it also reminded me that I had a whole church family supporting me. So I want to say thank you. I do want to say specific thanks to Janie Brown, Nancy Bowling, John Dawson, Reggie Vick, Chip Ferguson, Carrie Evans, Cheryl Swing, John Farnham, Lisa Thompson, Kristen Eiler, Megan Sweeney, Amy Harrison, and Ethan Lindsay. These are the group that I got to manipulate for 8 weeks in a small group study that really was challenging us to come together as generations, that no generation is isolated within the congregation. And so you can talk to one of these 13 individuals about that experience, and my hope is that you will get a chance to walk through that same experience for years to come as we implement that, hopefully, here at First Baptist Elon starting in the fall. It is a blessing. So I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. Thank you to my family. I could not have done it without you. Thank you to my youth leaders who took over Sunday Night Youth when I had to be absent. And thank you for everyone else who just lifted up prayers. It was a blessing, and I hope the lessons that I learned in this study I'll be able to implement here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you.
Please stand for our offertory hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, number 329 in your hymnal. We'll sing verse 1.
Oh,
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come to your house today. As we offer our gifts to you this day, we are reminded that only through your presence with us and in us are we able to live generously, act compassionately, and forgive mercifully. Help us to keep our lives focused on you. Help us to receive your grace with love and gratitude so that we may share it with everyone we meet. Amen.
Disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptations hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages, I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on the solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Almighty Father, we come to you seeking your grace and your strength and healing power over those that we love and care for who are struggling today. Many are sick, Many are alone. Many are grieving. Lord, many others are struggling to find their way in this world, their purpose, their direction. And still others, oh God, are lost outright. We pray you be the light, that you would be the voice crying out, calling behind us, saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And Lord, we confess that many times we close our ears, we stop them up to that voice, or we hear it clearly but choose to ignore it or pretend we didn't hear. Your grace is sufficient. You are the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and on. And so we pray, Lord, we would not squander grace or cheapen it, but live firmly within it. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to hear again from the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Thank God for God's word. Amen.
a speech from Henry V on the eve of the Battle of Edgefield. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that lives this day to see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, "Tomorrow is St. Crispian." Then he will strip his sleeves and show his scars and say, "These wounds I had on Crispin's day." Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages the feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry, the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son. And Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap while anyone speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. Nobody knows what the king really said to his men. These are the words of Shakespeare, after all, not of the king. But history tells us that they were facing, in this moment, a vast French army, well armored, heavy cavalry, high ground, and King Henry V and his men were half starved, many of them without armor or proper swords or spears, some with nothing more than farm tools, many without shoes, and they were small in number, not great. And here they are at a moment pregnant with opportunity, opportunity to run away, opportunity to hide, opportunity to say, "You know, I've got better things to do today, King," and go home. And in fact, in Shakespeare's account of the moment, he says, "I'll pay your way home. If you're afraid, go." It's a moment pregnant also with the opportunity to be bold and to do something bold, something that would change history, something that would change the world, something that, whether you are aware of it or not, has probably shaped your life in some way. And so this band of brothers, as Shakespeare calls them, they choose to act. They choose to say yes. And yes, they do rewrite history. As we come to our story in the scripture today, we find Esther in a similar moment of destiny and purpose. In the story of Esther's life, we are living in a post-destruction world, a post-Jerusalem world. Babylon has conquered and crushed Jerusalem, and the people have been exiled. They're scattered abroad. And many of them now, as the king of Persia has conquered Babylon, conquered the conquerors, there's a new life, a new way. And many people have become very comfortable living in the Persian courts and in the Persian lifestyle. And Esther is one who even finds herself married to the king of Persia. And Mama said, "You better shop around." She shopped pretty well. And she landed pretty well. The only thing is, the king doesn't even know she's a Hebrew. She's not making this public. It's a part of her identity she's keeping to herself and keeping it quiet. And now there is, stepping into the scene of this story, Esther, a villain. When the Jewish people celebrate this story, anytime you mention the name Haman, everybody's supposed to say, "Hiss." He's the quintessential bad guy who hates the Hebrew people, begins to point fingers at them and blame them for many of the problems that are going on in their world. Sounds a lot like Hitler, doesn't it? And Haman comes up with this idea to have a program, to commit genocide, to wipe out these Jewish people altogether. And then in steps the hero, Mordecai. Yay! And Mordecai knows that this is a moment for the queen. That she has the power to define the future of the Hebrew people, life or death. Live or die. She holds the keys to everything. No pressure. But Mordecai says, you have to go and speak to the king. Appear before your husband and plead to your husband to reject this proposal from the evil Haman. Hiss. And to turn things around and save your people. The one problem with that is, for one, it would require Esther to do what? To come out and say, I am a child of Abraham. I am a Hebrew woman. And if she does that and the king doesn't relent, guess what? She's just sentenced herself to death because the law, the edict, the proclamation was that all the Jewish people be put to death. But even bigger than that, this is not like popping into your boss's office to ask for a raise. No one is allowed to appear before the king of Persia to enter his courts unless he has personally called them. And if you just show up, if you just pop in, if you just swing by, you'll find yourself dead. It's against the law. So she has this, if you will, double whammy. What does she do? What can she do? What should she do? What must she do? And we're given this story. We pick it up in chapter 4, verse 10 of the book of Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there's but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the gold and scepter to someone may that person live. I myself, this is Esther speaking, have not been called to come in to the king for 30 days. Then they told Mordecai what Esther said. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for such a time as this. Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Esther is not just a hero for feminists. She is a model of what it means to be heroic, bold, faithful. She understands the law quite well, but she also understands Mordecai's words, that Mordecai is saying to her, Esther, could it be? Might it be that everything in your life has been leading you up to this moment, and God has put you in this place, not for you, but for the people? that God has placed you in this moment, not so that your life will be preserved, but so that you might save the lives of many for such a time as this. It's poetic, isn't it? And it's powerfully true. There comes to my mind this wrestling that all of us have within us, that we are, when we are faced with those pregnant moments of opportunity, that when we realize, and perhaps you know fully what I'm talking about here, when you realize that this moment matters, that this moment is serious, that what I do right now, right here, whether I say yes or no, whether I go or I stay, this is going to define my life forever. And it might also be that it's going to define and shape the lives of many, many people. You have that feeling. It's almost as though the weight of the moment is pulsing through you. An awareness is pulsing through you that this is a moment where I really need to think and act rightly, or all will be lost. Two of the most painful words you'll ever hear people say are, "What if?" You heard that before? What painful words to say, "What if I had just, what if I had only gone on that trip? What if I had just taken that opportunity, that job? What if I had shared the gospel with that person that day? What if I had, when my heart was racing and they asked me, 'Would you do this?' and I said no. What if I had said yes? What if I had been bold when I was afraid?" I picture a man now in his 60s who says, "What if I had said yes when I knew the Lord was calling me to ministry? And I dodged it for all those years. And I can't say my life would have been happy if I had done it, but I can tell you I've been pretty miserable for a long time." I picture a woman in tears because she knew that she had something she needed to say to her father. And the years went on and he got older and frailer, and she needed to say this and she needed to say this. And she finally worked up the nerve, but it was too late. He was gone. What if? What if? I picture someone, a teenager, who wonders, what if they had told their friend, their classmate, their neighbor, what if they had told them, "You know, God loves you just the way you are"? The graduation came and went, and they never spoke. I picture a guy lying in bed at night saying, "Should I have eaten that last slice of pizza?" Big things are small. What ifs and should I haves and woulda, coulda, shouldas weigh heavily on us, do they not? And I'll tell you, my friends, the weight, the cost of saying yes and acting, it will be great. It will be painful. But the cost of saying no is far greater. What is your moment today? What is the time that you're in for this moment? What is the such a time as this situation that you found yourself, you've landed in right here, right now? And my challenge would be, whatever it is you know you ought to say, you know you ought to do, you know you ought to go, then I would say to you the words of Mordecai, who knows? Perhaps it is for such a time as this that God has worked all things in your life, and now you're at the moment to run and hide or run ahead in grace. Think about it. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us indeed to think about it, to open ourselves to your Spirit, to allow you and your Word to search us and show us the way. Indeed, Lord, we pray for open ears to hear that voice behind us whispering. Sometimes it's quite quiet, saying to us, this is the way, walk in it. And then, Lord, and then give us the boldness, the courage, and the strength to go ahead. In Christ's holy and precious name, amen. We invite you this morning to respond to God's word. If you are able, would you please stand as we sing our hymn of response? Have faith in God. This is what it comes down to. Do we believe God is the God who can do great things or not? Please stand. Please have a seat for a moment. It seems somebody was listening to the sermon and decided to stand at just the right moment. Wes, I want to invite you to come and stand right here with me. And your parents, I'll invite them to come in just a second. But Wes and I have talked a couple of times, and he's really been talking to his parents for years now about wanting to give his life to Jesus. He loves Jesus. He knows Jesus loves him. And that is the gospel. Amen. And Wes has said that he would like to be baptized. He wants to be a part of this church. He wants to be a part of your family, the family of God. And so in a couple of weeks, we'll set up a time for Wes to be baptized and to make that statement of faith. But today he comes just seeking membership in this church on condition of his baptism. And I want to also say that there is no age limit on when we can understand the grace of God. And this young man gets it. He gets it more than a lot of adults that I know. And that's exciting. And a challenge to all of us, Wes. Buddy. So parents, would you come stand up here with him? If you're willing and you affirm Wes's desire to join with this church body, would you demonstrate that by standing, please? Buddy, I don't see anybody sitting down. That means that they all love you and they believe in you and they're excited. But more than that, it means that they believe in God's love and they're excited that you're celebrating that Jesus loves you and died for you. That's awesome. We're going to leave eventually today, I promise. Normally we would go right into the benediction at this time, but I want to ask if you would just please sit back down one more time. You guys can sit back.
Our music ministry would like to take a moment to say a special thank you to Kristen Eiler. Kristen, will you come up here with me? We wanted to recognize you and thank you for the love, time, energy that you've given to our church, particularly in the choir, on the organ, the piano, handbells, and praise team. We all enjoy your kind spirit and your beautiful talent. We thank you, and we will all miss you next year. Blessings to you from all of us as you prepare for graduation, and this is a gift to you from the music ministry and the church.
Would you remain seated for the benediction and for our choral response? May the God of light shine on you and shine through you into a world of darkness, guiding your steps, showing you the way so that you might lead and show others the way as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.